Asian literature top three. There's no way around that. The thing that's fascinating to me about Mays is that Mays is from an era where baseball players look like regular people. Like, I mean, you look at it now because they got these little teeny tiny ballparks and everything else. Everybody weigh 250 pounds, right? You got shortstops that's out here looking at, you know, 6'3", 225 pounds. Willie Mays is 5'11", 170 pounds. Now, part of that is that the stadiums were so big that having somebody that was just so super-duper strong didn't even necessarily translate to mean that you were going to hit home runs. So it was really just about having dudes that had quick wrists and hit line drives. So what Willie Mays was Mr. Line Drive and Mr. I can go suck up and catch any line drive that you get. So in an era where center field at his home stadium is 480 feet away, he's playing center field, right? Like, that's like cover, like, that's like being in the NFL and it's a cover three, but you got two of them all by yourself. Like, that's, I mean, what he is and what he was as an athlete, on top of being the historical figure that kind of bridged the entire map going from New York to San Francisco to play baseball. It just doesn't get to be a lot more important than Willie Mays.
No doubt, Bo. Thanks for joining us. Let me ask you this. That catch in center field in the World Series to you, where does that rank? Because when I think of, like, iconic plays just in sports, the basket catch, the confidence to even pull that off, where does that rank for Bo Monty Jones?
I mean, as iconic, it's probably number one. The only problem with it is I don't think that people have an appropriate context in modern times, because when you see the clip, all you see is Willie Mays running in a straight line, catching a ball, stopping, throwing it back at the fence. But if you don't understand that the fence is 480 feet away,
man,
I don't think, like, you know, I don't think you have a proper grasp on what we're talking about here in terms of turning around and running it down. Like, if the fence is at 405, right? How impressive is this thing that we're really talking about here and stopping on a dime and turning around and throwing it back into the infield? When you really know those numbers, now it's something else. Nelson George has a doc that ran on HBO, I want to say last year. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but it was about Willie Mays. And I think it gave kind of an appropriate athletic context for what that play was. Because I think, you know, especially now that we got HD, it's one thing that thing in black and white, like, it looked like in one of the things with somebody run the crank by the hand. You know, like it's hard for us to conceptualize that amazing athletic feat happened at that time. So just remember, that was 480 feet away from home plate.
Yeah, you're listening to Emmy Award-winning executive producer and sports commentator Bo Monty Jones. We're talking about Willie Mays, who passed at 93. One of the things that we're hearing a lot of is that he was one of the most universally loved, if not the most universally loved, athlete. Why was Willie Mays universally loved as opposed to other athletes who might have just been loved by the fans of those teams they played for?
Well, I think there's something important to remember is that he became a star in New York and then he became a star in San Francisco, but he's not the one that moved the Giants, right? So there's no reason for New York to fall out of love with you when you make that move. Like, the example I made about the Giants moving there in the 1950s and him being on the team, he's the best player in baseball, and San Francisco gets him. That'd be kind of like in, like, 1986 or 87, if LL Cool J is the best rapper in the world and hip-hop is catching on everywhere, and he just decides he's going. Obviously, Mays didn't decide it, but LL Cool J now moves the franchise to San Francisco. And this is what y'all's rap is now. Y'all got LL Cool J at the peak of his powers. That's basically what happens when you talk about Mays. So, I mean, you add that to the fact that and amazing athleticism goes a really long way. And he was an amazing athlete for people to watch. Add that to being not a particularly controversial figure, which was a conscious decision on his end, and boom, you got a perfect combination of things.
Bo, that's where I was going. I'm a brother. I know you are right there. I mean, this guy started in the Negro Leagues, and we know why. Had to deal with Jim Crow, segregation, AAA, and New Jersey, and they're calling him the N-word left and right, and everybody's trying to tell him, you know, just look the other way. But some within the black community way back then, Bo, were like, you're not loud enough. And he wasn't at the Cleveland Summit. And there's a doc on HBO Max, Say Hey, and that bothered him. But you could never tell because he never let you know. But when you hear that and you know, I were to ask you about the Cleveland Summit and him not there, what comes to mind?
That there's arguments on both sides.
No doubt, man.
Right? I think that is the best way that I can put it. I also think that people generally have a tendency to want everybody else to be a little bit more revolutionary than they themselves would actually be in the moment.
Wow.
So I try to be a bit self-aware about that. It needs to be to spend somebody else's money, right? It needs to be to spend somebody else's freedom. There were people who were there in those moments, and they stood tall, and they deserve all the credit in the world. But I can also understand the argument that somebody might make. Also, at that point, Willie Mays, I want to say with the Cleveland Summit, we're now talking about somebody in his mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The revolution typically is led by people in their mid-20s. Like, that's who typically does that. He had kind of aged out of that. People his age give you money to go do stuff.
Right.
Like, if somebody wants me to go burn something down right now, I give you $5 and tell you to run to the store and go get some gasoline. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't that age no more. So, I mean, I get where people were coming from in that time, because it would have meant so much if Willie Mays could say something, because his voice was so resonant. But I don't take it. I'm only willing to make so many assumptions about somebody who makes the decision that he made at this point in my life. There was definitely a time I probably would have called him today.
Bomani Jones is joining us on 95.7 The Game, Emmy Award-winning executive producer and sports commentator. If you were in charge of baseball, how would you honor Willie Mays?
I don't honestly know if there's anything that you can really do in that regard. Like, I guess you name a trophy after him or something, or like name the gold gloves after him perhaps. But there's the thing that baseball has is names and numbers resonate. And his is a name that rings out. Like, there are younger people who know who Willie Mays is and have no idea why they should know who Willie Mays is. That becomes its own sort of thing. Baseball does a great job of mythologizing its own. So I don't even know if they need necessarily to do anything very particular as it relates to him. The Giants have already done quite a bit, which I think is a very important thing.
Bo, my mama told me, never question the Lord, and I won't. He makes no mistakes. But the timing of this is just, it's mind-boggling to me. They're going to play at Rickwood Field, the field he played in 2 days, he passes away. And my producer and friend says, you know what, maybe that just gives us more time to celebrate him. But the timing and what that game was about and who it was for, just share with us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's almost, you know, very recently, Franco Harris died right before the Steelers were finally going to retire his jersey, right? Like, it feels very similar to that. And I was talking to Roy Wood Jr. today for my podcast, and he's down there doing some work with MLB. And what he said, though, was that no matter what, this was going to be a celebration of Willie Mays. Like, Willie Mays is one of the three living Negro Leaguers, and they're doing this in his hometown. This was always going to be a celebration of Willie Mays. And so I think it works out, look, man, Willie Mays is 93 years old, right? It's sad when somebody dies at 93, but it ain't tragic. You know, like, this is a man who lived a long life, and that, I think, lends itself well for a time like this. There will be grieving, certainly, and there is mourning, but it becomes, I believe, easier to celebrate.
Bomani, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Your insight is appreciated.
Hey, no problem, fellas. You guys have a good one.
All right. That's Bomani Jones. You can hear him on The Right Time with Bomani Jones, and he is executive producer and sports commentator, Bomani Jones.